In Ecuador's Amazon region, a pipeline is being constructed that will carry heavy crude oil over the Andes and down to the Pacific coast. Oil accounts for 50% of Ecuador's national revenue. The new pipeline will double the country's pumping capacity and may help to alleviate a major economic crisis. Critics say the majority of Ecuadorians have not benefited from past oil development. Instead, they say it's created environmental disasters in a country known for its stunning biodiversity. Sandy Tolan reports.
Looking south from a steep ridge above the Quichua community of Arajuno toward the Peruvian border, all this seems untouched, and unlike other parts of the country's Amazon, most of it is. Indigenous communities are scattered amidst the canopy, most reachable only by light plane or canoe. Others are so remote, residents are unaware they live in a country called Ecuador. But beneath this undulating green lies the heavy crude oil Ecuadorian officials consider their lifeblood. A helicopter rumbles toward an oil rig in the distance, signaling the new petrol boom in the Amazon, whether the communities want it or not. Down in Arajuno, a loudspeaker near the town soccer field blares the news of the day from a radio station in Puyo, 2 hours away. Near the river at the edge of town, on past a shop offering dry goods and warm beer, sits Efrain Calapucho, a young Quechua Indian leader.
Sabemos que los derrames petroleros que hacen otras provincias.
We know all about the oil spills the oil company has made in other provinces.
Destruye la ecología.
They destroy the ecology.
Calapucho says nearby oil development by the Italian firm Agip already has brother fighting against brother in Arajuno, fistfights in the dirt streets. Now there's more tension, he says, over what could happen if the heavy crude rigs roll in.
The intention of the government is to get some crude oil out of some old wells in this area. Our position is no.
Nuestra posición como asociación es no, no a la compañía.
Efrain Calapucho knows what happened to the Cofán Indians up north when Texaco came in the 1970s. Oil spills, contaminated rivers, epidemic disease, and a decimated population. He worries that could happen here. Already seismic explosions have scared away the animals, he says, and roads for oil rigs have led to deforestation. Yet Calapucho also knows that Ecuador is determined to take the oil from the Amazon. Despite an historic pact giving half the country's Amazon lands to indigenous people, what lies under the soil is another story. In the capital, Quito.
De acuerdo a la Constitución, todos los recursos naturales que están en el subsuelo.
According to the Constitution, all the natural resources beneath the ground belong to everyone, not any one person.
Mauro Davila, executive with the state-run oil company Petro Ecuador, says the government plans to develop the Amazon fields for all Ecuadorians. Yes, he says, in the past the oil companies did some bad things, but now it can be different because of better regulations and new technology. In any event, he says, the country's economic crisis, 100% inflation last year and a doubling of the poverty rate to 70%, means the nation has little choice but to pump more oil.
No podemos darnos ese lujo.
We don't have that luxury of waiting 20 or 30 years to extract the oil.
El dinero necesitamos ahora.
We need the money now.
Still, foreign companies take more than 80% of Ecuador's oil revenues. Economic critics say the country is sacrificing itself for little return.
Este país, más que un país, va a ser un pozo petrolero.
Ecuador is turning itself into one big oil well.
Independent economist Alberto Acosta says Ecuador made its choice to double oil production out of economic desperation. He says there's no reason to believe this will be any wiser a strategy than the one before.
No fue el motor del desarrollo que se esperaba.
It never was the kind of development model we hoped for. The resources were squandered. The money went to buy arms. A huge external debt was incurred. Most of the income was concentrated in a few hands, and a lot of it fled the country to Florida. In this way, the country's petroleum was wasted. And it is this same perverse society, this society with corrupt, repressive, paternalistic institutions, it is this same society that wants to launch another big petroleum boom.
La misma que quiere lanzar un nuevo boom petrolero.
Yet 80% of Ecuadorians support the new pipeline, putting their hopes in oil for an economic recovery. Even the country's mainstream environmental groups have reluctantly signed on to the new oil boom. Their reservations have focused more on the route the crude oil will take. When it leaves the Amazon, the new heavy crude pipeline will scale the Andes before plunging down toward the Pacific coast. Along the way, it will pass through one of the highest concentrations of bird diversity in the world. Howard Clark, longtime assessor of environmental projects for American Aid in South America, and now a private consultant in Quito, says the ground is unstable.
There are regular earthquakes, there are El Nino climatic events, and all this instability. The new pipeline will be running at very high pressure, and the oil will be heated all the way from the Amazon to the coast. And so when that pipeline bursts, a huge amount of heavy crude, it's not going to just volatilize away in a couple of months, but will leave basically asphalt covering where it squirts out. It'll be mega losses from that one.
The oil companies say there's little reason to worry. Maria de Los Angeles Mantilla is head of governmental relations for the consortium of foreign companies building the pipeline.
Everything is possible in the world, but I think that the possibilities because of this latest technology are very, very small. We are prepared for any contingency problem.
Most environmental groups have chosen to heed the company's words, choosing dialogue over protest. Still, across the country, the oil companies are taking no chances. In the Amazon, the Ecuadorian army is posted at select oil rigs to ensure extraction without problems. Last year, an unidentified group near the Colombian border attacked Ecuador's main oil pipeline. 8 people died in the explosion. Some linked the action to Colombian rebels, others to longtime opponents of oil development in Ecuador. In the late 80s, one Quechua community seized an ARCO platform and took hostages. Now, along the pipeline route, some groups plan nonviolent action to stop construction. Treehouses inhabited by protesters inspired by the Redwood home of California activist Julia Butterfly. At this point, their numbers appear to be few, and even among the powerful indigenous groups, despite occasional protests, dialogue is now the real watchword. Some Quechuas are even speaking out in support of the jobs the oil industry can bring. This second oil pipeline will give Ecuador a capacity to generate 800,000 barrels a day, a mere drop in the global oil bucket. The irony for Ecuador, at that rate, the country's oil may last less than 20 years. Petroecuador officials say they know of no plans to begin thinking about a post-petroleum economy. For NPR News, this is Sandy Tolan in Quito, Ecuador.